Sunday, 17th of Adar Sheni, 20th of March, Rarav David Stern, in Yonah Diyoma. This week's Torah word has been sponsored by family Duna on the 14th yahrzeit of their father, Reben Tzion ben Rav Avraham Moshe Levi Duna, Zichron Levracha. His yahrzeit was yesterday.
The title of the shir is actually just in Yonah Diyoma. So I suppose because of Chaim's Tira and imminent Baya, Yonah Diyoma might have perhaps been what you talk about Rav Chaim. I'm not going to do so. I'm sure there'll be space in later on. That's one thing for sure, that Rav Chaim was the Omnit HaTorah and stood for Ion Batera and Amelus Batera. So I'd like to say a shir, which is like a, you have to do a little bit to be Omel. It's in Yonah Diyoma in the respect that today is 17th of Adar Sheni, which is Shivsar, and by Hasidim we still don't say Tachnun on Shivsar because Gemara says that we might even be laying the Megillah possibly on Shivsar. So the Yonah Diyoma will center around the topic of Esther. So, by way of Akdoma, the Gemara Sanhedrin Daf Ayin Dalad Omad Aleph tells us, famously, that Kol Aveir Sheba Torah Im Omrim LeOdom Aveir Val Tahorei Yavar Vayori. All Aveiris in the Torah, if someone comes and threatens a Yid, either you transgress, eat the piece of Chazer, or I'll kill you. Halach is Yavar Va'al Yehorei. Rashi says, it's because it says in the Torah, V'chai Bohem V'lish Yomismet. Chutz, me'avodes kechovim, the gilar royos, or shvichus dom. Those three averas you have to be yehoreg va'al yavar. Later the Gemara then goes on to say that even kol averas shevetorah, where you may transgress rather than be killed, that's with two provisions. Number one, lo shon ela shaloi b'shaz gzeros malchus, or now the gift of the Shaz Jera Shemad. So if the Malchus have made the Gzera that Yid may not keep Dinu of the Torah, then any Avera requires you to give up your life if threatened rather than transgressive, it's Shaz Jera Shemad. And also, Lo Yishonu Elo Betzino, that which you can transgress is only if it's done Betzino. But if it's Befarhesia, and the Gemara over the page explains Farhesia means in the presence of 10 Yidin, then it says, "V'negdashli b'seich b'nei Yisrael," you have to give up your life for any aver in the Torah. So then the Gemara asks the question, "V'ha Esther parhesia hav." Rashi explains that the language of the Gemara indicates we're not asking a gilu aroyos question here, because then you would need to come to parhesia, but we're asking. Rashi says, we're talking about now when Batilokach Esther, she was taken. Of course, had she refused, she would have been off with her head like with Vashti. So it was a threat to her life. But nevertheless, she was being taken to be nival to a goy. And was Fahesia. Everyone knew. It wasn't a secret. Fahesia doesn't have to be maybe in the presence of the Tem Yidden, but with the knowledge. Everyone knows that Esther's been taken. So why was she not Moisa Nefesh, rather than be taken b'fahesia to be nivar la'akum, the chid mesiras nefesh for any aver in the Torah if it's being done b'fahesia? As I threatened the Gemara Kashi.
Was it
b'fahesia
that she was a
Yid?
No, not
b'fahesia.
Pardon?
So
the problem was b'fahesia. That's the question of the Gemara. V'ha Esther parhesia. That's the question of the Gemara.
It's fixed.
It was b'fahesia, albeit it might not have been for the, you know, Gila Royas, but it was Nival al-Akum, which is certainly an Issa, it's not even a derisa, maybe the Bezin Shashem goes rule for a Yidana to be Nival to an Akum, but still, it's not worse than Ak for the Masana, which the Gemara says you have to give up your life for if it's for Hesia. So, therefore, for the Gemara, she was Pahesia, and why might she not give up her life?
She was Yid. It doesn't make any sense.
It makes a difference. First of all, I'm sure that the people around her knew that she was Yid.
So what?
It wasn't a secret. Lohi Gido Esther, you know, to Achashverosh, but in Shul, they knew she was a Yid. Okay, that as I afraid the Gemara Kasha.
And the Gemara gives two answers on that question. On that question, the first is Omar Abaye Esther Karka Olam Hoisa. Because when a man is boiled, a woman, the woman is passive. That's the poshut of pshat in Karka Olam. Rashi says Karka Olam Einot Oisa Mas. She doesn't do anything. Who Oisa Bo Masa? He does it to her. So seemingly, what the Gemara is answering is that although there's a chiyuv mesiras nefesh for any other in the Torah when it's done for hesia, but only if it's being done b'kum v'asei. But if it's being done passively, then there's no chiyuv mesiras nefesh.
Isn't this still a problem because the olam doesn't know she's passive?
On the contrary, we'll see. Tosfos says maybe forget. As far as the olam is concerned, it's still rather pahesia this, but nevertheless, in actual fact, it's being done in a passive way, and therefore the degree of chilul Hashem is lessened when you're not an active transgressor, and therefore it's permitted to do it rather than to give up your life. That's Abaye's answer. Esther karka olam hoisa. And Rava Omar Hanos Atzmon Shan. Rava says that if the guy, if he wants lahavir al hadas, then you have to give up your life. But if it's for his own Hanos Atzmon Shan, we're talking about now this element of the chiv to give up your life with fahesia for any other mitzvah other than the Gimel Averus, Rava says, Hanos Atzmon, you don't have to give up your life for, even if you would be an active participant, Hanos Atzmon Shan. That's Rava's answer on this question. Now, Tosfos over here raises a question which all the Rishonim raise, which is that the Gemara Megillah tells us, Kocha Mordechai loy levas, al tikra levas, elo lebayis, that actually she was married to Mordechai, so she was Mordechai's wife, and therefore she was an Eishes Ish. So, Tosfos, forget Pahesia, why are you asking Midin Pahesia? You should ask Midin Gilu Aroyos. It's a Gilu Aroyos, she's an Eishes Ish, and therefore even if it's being Mitzina, there's a Chiva Mesiras Nefesh because of Gilu Aroyos. And on that, Tosfos gives two answers. The first is Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam is a very mechudeshtika answer. It's quite well known. Rabbeinu Tam says that there's no chiyuv mesiras nefesh, there's no chiyuv misa for a be'ila of a goy with an eishes ish. And to quote Rabbeinu Tam, he says, because zer masusam zer mosam, and it's bi'as erichoyim is havik kibi'as behema. It's not considered gil arois. The gil arois is with a man, and you have to understand Rabbi Tam, as we said, the guy is like a behema, and therefore there's no gilu arroyos, so mitzad that there wouldn't be a problem. There's still a problem of the fahesti, because there's still an issue to be nival to an akum. Bezen Shoshem goes, you can't be nival to an akum. So the Gemara is asking, it's a fahesti, you can't do it. But as far as gilu arroyos is concerned, Rabbi Tam's shitta is that there's no issue of gilu arroyos with a guy. That shit's Rabbi Tam. One second. Even Barotzen, yes. Gilu Aroyos does not apply. There's another associated issa of Be'ila La'akum, but not the issa of Gilu Aroyos. There's no Chiv Misa. It's not Chiv Misa like normal Gilu Aroyos, because to a guy it's Kibbutz Rehman. That's Rabbeinu Tam's answer. And the Rivam says Tosfos disagrees strongly with Rabbeinu Tam. He says he can't say such a thing. And he says a different answer. He says, the answer is very simple. He says, Esther Kako Elamos. And he brings a raya, I'm not going to go into it. Rashi Numa also says this, that a woman who is a karka olam in the act of be'ila, there is no din of b'chiv mesiras nefesh, even as far as the issa gilu arois is concerned. And he says that was poshut to the Gemara. What was less poshut to the Gemara was that it should mitigate the din of pahesia, because at the end of the day, people are talking, and it's pahesia, and karka olam, okay, you're not doing anything, but you're still, but pahesia, you know, transgressing, that was less clear to the Gemara. And Abai said, Karka Olam takes care of Pahesi as well. And Robert disagreed and said, no, as far as Pahesi is concerned, Karka Olam is not a solution. You need to come to Anos Atzmon Shana. But as far as Gilu Arois is concerned, that the Gemara always knew that Karka Olam was a reason why you don't have no Chiv Mesiras Nefesh because you're Karka Olam.
Is she not considered Oinus?
Of course she's an Oinus, but you're not allowed to transgress even by Oinus. You're Horeg V'Aliyavoy. course she's an oinus. No one's suggesting she's doing baratzen.
Yeah.
But you'd still have to not. You still have to say, I'm not allowing it. You kill me. I'm not being. I'm not allowing. That's how the chiv of yihorig al yavo. Now,
in Rabbein Tam, kibahema, that's also going to be gedara isn't it?
No,
if he's got dinner with behemoth.
No.
If she has more than devoto a behemoth, what's the halacha?
I don't know, but to be nival to behemoth, mamash, do you too? Somebody would say either you be nival to a behemoth or I kill you. You don't have to give up your life. That's not called gil arois. Gil arois is one of the chamesh asrei noshim in the Torah, which are gil arois or eish esish, but not behemoth. I just want to interject at this point the following difficulty, perhaps. That the Gemara says that a woman is a karka oilom. But there's a Gemara, Tosis quotes it later, there's a Gemara about the Kama daf lamed base. But the Gemara says that, understand, every gula royis says, v'nichtu ha'mafoshes ha'oisois. Every woman is always a karka. That's the nature of Bila. So why is she ever guilty when she's. And the Gemara says there that because she gets hana, hatora achshava kamasa. We consider her part as an active part. Hatora says v'nichshav nefoshes is ha'oisoi. So how does that jive with our Gemara here? The Gemara says it's karka oilam, but there the Gemara says hatora achshava kamasa. So there are two answers on this question. Yeah. One, a bit longish, but one answer is that as far as the chi of skila and the chi of chorus and the chi of chatos is concerned, the Torah considered the woman's part as a maaser. But when we come to chiv mesiras nefesh for either for hesi or for gilu arayos, betzina le'inyan the chiv mesiras nefesh, we don't find that the Torah considered her part as a maaser. We find the Torah considered her part as a maaser klapa her onshim, but not klapa the din mesiras nefesh. And therefore, given that, the Gemara still says she isn't. Factually, a karka oilam and there's no din mesiras nefesh. That's one mahalach. The Orch Rinair and the Noda Biyuda, they say an alamach. It's going to be nagea to what we're going to say later. They say an alamach and they say that when does the Gemara Bakama consider the woman's part to be a maaser? Only when she does it barotzai. So it's in combination with her willingness to be party to this act. Although she's actually physically perhaps passive, but in combination with her rotzai. To be nival, the Torah considered it a maaser. But in the case where she's been forced, so there's no rotzoin. In the absence of rotzoin, the Gemara Ba'as says, we look at that act as a mere karka oilam, and therefore, says the Gemara, if it's a karka oilam, there's no chiv mesiras nefesh neither for Fahesia, nor, says the Rivom, for the Issa of Gil Arayos. Adkan, the sugya hanagel in your name. Now, I want to, today, go into the following question. The Gemara in Megillah tells us that Ulchein Oel Amelech Asholoi Kados. Says the Gemara, Asholoi Kados, Kol Yom Beyoim. Ad Achshav Ba'Oinus, Achshav Rotzim. When Esther took the decision, Lo'ini Kreisi Lo'am Nafshe Shem, she hadn't been called, she hadn't been summoned, no one was threatening her, and she went willingly into Achashverosh. So the Gemara says that she did so Barotzim. So much so, that the Gemara goes on to say, V'chasher ovadati, ovadati, k'shem shovadati b'meisav, v'kach oved mimcho, says Rashi, ad achshav nivalti ba'oinus, achshav mikam ve'elech midati, ovadati mimcho, v'asura nilach, from now on, she says to Mordecha, I will be forbidden to you, my husband. The eish is Yisroel shenenso, muteres nebalo. An eish Yisroel who's forced, if he's not a kohen, is muteres nebalo. V'rotso, in asura nebalo. So she says to Mordecha, I'm sorry, that from this point on, I'll be forbidden to you, I'm going in Barotzai.
Well,
hang on a second. But he didn't give her a get. He could have given her a get, but he didn't give her a get. Now the question is, how on earth, you know, it's very nice, good cause, but how on earth do you have a right to go, especially if she's an Ishish, and be Nival Barotzai, Tachashirish? You take this thing to do so willingly, no one's forcing you, no one's coercing you. What right does Esther have to go and be over the Issa of Eishasish Barotzim? And it's a question which isn't addressed openly over here by the Rishonim. In fact, to come to your point, Tosis over here asks a question. In Toma, says Tosis, Kishin Esratzis, Esther Lachashverosh,
So he says, why didn't Mordechai divorce her? Kidei shetei muteres lachzor loy. And that way, she wouldn't be a zayna, and he'd be able to take her back and remarry her. As if it's a kasha. And so he says, it'll be a public thing. Word will get out somehow on the street that she's Mordechai's wife. And then we didn't want him to gash. And the Mashal says that Tois Kuravas even shared Tois Kuravas. Not why was he not Megarisha so that she should be permitted to return to him? The Tois Kuravas, why was he not Megarisha? Kadeshaloi Tavar Alisa Ishish. That's the Rosh of the Mashal, Bishan the Mordechai. Why was he not Megarisha? Kadeshaloi Tavar Alisa Ishish. Fine, that's what Tois Kuravas should have asked. But Tois's answer satisfies that too, that what? He wasn't Megarisha because he had a Cheshman, I don't want to become public. Very nice, you don't want to become public. But it doesn't answer the question. How can you allow her? How can she go in willingly as an Eish HaSish? You might not wish to be Megarisha, that's your decision, but then she shouldn't go. How can she go and transgress Barotza? Oh, now. I'm asking according to Rabbi Matan. I'm asking according to the Shidda of most Rishonim that there is an Nisa Hukribon, there is an Nisa Eish HaSish, even with a goy. Now, you could suggest that it's going to get a bit more long here, but you could suggest that one can perhaps go with the approach of her being a karka oila, even though she went in barotza, because she might walk in barotza, but she's still a karka oila as far as the actual beila is concerned, and maybe karka oila allows one to do this in order to what? To save lives. Because in our Gemara it says that when she's being threatened, she can save her own life because when she's a karaka olam, so who are then perhaps to save someone else? She's actually not being threatened, but other Jews out there are being threatened. So maybe to save another Yid's life, she can submit herself in Barotza because she is ultimately a karaka olam. But this teretz might work, but it's very tenuous, very unclear that this teretz works. First of all, I'm going to go through three cheshbonos why this teretz, l'chera, doesn't work onto many views. First of all, we said that the Gemara Baba Kama considers a woman's part as a maaser. Hatera choshva kemaaser. It says nichzuan choshes oisus. So we said has a jab with our Gemara. So one malach we said was that klapa the chiyuvim skila and chatos turns into a maaser, but not klapa hachiyuv mesiras nefesh. We consider that as karka olam. So if that's the malach, then yes, you could say that she's submitting herself barotza, but she's ultimately karka olam, and for the purposes of pikuach nefesh. It's doicha if she's a karka olam. You could say that, but the Ochanan Rabbi Yehuda we said says a different answer. They said that the Gemara says it's only karka olam when she's being nanas, but when she's doing it barotzoin, it's not a karka olam because then her rotzoin is mitzdarif to her passiveness, and the Torah there was choshal kamasa, but she does a barotzoin. So according to them, our Gemara of karka olam only is applicable when she's being nanas, but when she goes barotzoin, she's not a karka olam. Because submitting yourself to Barotza in the Torah Choshba Kamasa, so then you can't answer that Esther had the right to do it because she's a Karaka Olam. Because according to them, in this situation, when you go Barotza, you're not a Karaka Olam. So it wouldn't work according to them. That's number one.
But how can you take that it's Barotza? The Megillah said the third, but the Loka.
No, that's the first time. Yeah. But when she went in after 3 days fasting, she went Barotza.
No, she went to talk to you, she didn't know.
The Gemara says, "Arachshav ba'oynus." Now I'm going barotza. I'm going to be. She knew that he was going to be barotza. When that took place, how that took place, I don't know. But akavonim, and I don't know even if it took place. But akavonim, she was willingly submitting herself to that possibility because she said to him, "B'chasha rovadti ovadti." So another reason why karka olam might not be a satisfactory answer. Apart from the fact that according to Orchanan of Yudah, it's not a satisfactory answer because it's not karka olam according to them when you submit Barotzen. But even if you want to say that it is karka olam, like the first malach we said, because klapa chiyuv, klapa pikuach nefesh, we do deem her act of karka olam, and therefore when she's saving lives, let us say she's allowed to do it because she's ultimately only a karka olam, but it still might not be a satisfactory explanation because, yeah, there's a famous Gemara here in Daf Ayin Hei, right? Everything's famous when you know it. But the Gemara of Aine says there was this gentleman who hela liboy tina for a woman, and he became sick, deathly sick over her. And Omru Haroifim,
The only way he will be healed is if tibaloi. According to one view, the one who's an tibaloi. No way. And even Machir Agedish can't talk to him. And they forbade Abu Zrayu, and he had to die. Right. That's Helo Liboy Tino. The Rishonim discuss what would be a situation of a woman who's Helo Libo Tino. So she becomes lovesick for a man, and the Rishonim will say, she will die unless we will allow him to be boiled her. Can we allow that? To save her life. And ultimately we can argue she'll only be a Karka Olam, and Karka Olam is perhaps permitted according to the Rivon, even by Gilar Royas. So can we allow her to be Nivel in order to save her life? So this is a big Machlokes Rishonim. So Rav Shlomo Egan in Ksubas writes, in Kibbeh Egan in Ksubas, brings Rav Shlomo Egan, that according to the Rivon she could. That's what he writes, according to Rambam she could. But he acknowledges that according to the Ramban, she can't. Why? Because the Ramban over here has a different pshat in Karka Olam. I've told you so far Rashi's pshat and the Rivon's pshat. The Karka Olam means who ain't oisa, he ain't oisa masa, who oisa b'masa. That's a normal term of Karka Olam. An act being done with Sheva Tasa is deemed more lenient. But the Ramban learns different in Karka Olam. Ramban learns Karka Olam means no point in her giving up her life because he can do it to her anyways. It's not like he can stop him doing it to her. She's a Karka Olam means he can anyway do it. Like he can bang the ground, he can do it to her anyways. True. And therefore she doesn't have to give up her life because she won't gain anything. He'll do it to her and then kill her. So therefore she doesn't have to give up her life. That's how the Ramban explains Karka Olam. Says the Ramban, and therefore according to my pshat of Karka Olam, she's only permitted to allow herself to be Nival when he's forcing her, that if you don't allow him to do it, I'll kill you. And he's forcing her to do the act, then she's allowed to do it because she's Karka Olam. But says Ramban, if Helo Libo Tino, and the only way she'll be healed is if she gets Nival from this man, says Ramban, she won't be allowed to do it because it's not like he's going to go to her, do it to her anyway in that case. He doesn't even know her existence. She's a Red Zech Ayin, that she needs him to be boiling her, but it's not like she stands to have it done to her anyway in that case. So the Ramban says, Avada Behelo Libo Tino, she would not be allowed to be Nival just to save her life. Because their Sorok Karka Olam doesn't apply. So according to the Ramban, therefore it comes out that in the case of Esther as well, no one was going to be doing it to her Bar Korcha. As we just said, Leile Kreisi Rav Al-Amelech. So he wasn't looking for her at that point in time. So according to Ramban, Sorok Karka Olam, it wasn't going to be done inevitably anyway, so she wouldn't have a head of Karka Olam. Do you follow? So that's another reason why the answer of Karka Olam would not work. On Chitz Ramban in Karka Olam, it wouldn't work. And finally, another reason why Karka Olam can't work, possibly, is because the Me'iri says that also, and the Ran says it, even according to Rivon, by Helo Libatino, she cannot submit herself, and you go and say Karka Olam, because he says that there's a difference. If a man forces you, he says, if you don't let me do it, I'll kill you, and he forces you, then you're a Karka Olam. But if you actually call the man in, he doesn't even know of your existence, and you call him in, you say, please, come, you instigate it, says the Me'iri, that's not called Karka Olam, because you instigated. You took an active role in instigating this Be'ila, which is a Chiddush, because when it comes to actual Naisa, you're still a Karka Olam. But the Me'iri says that if she acted, the Mefarshim, the Achronim explain, I'll just say a quick Achronim Shavati, the Achronim explain, the logic behind the Me'iri is that V'chai Bohem and Gilu Aroyos are equal, as it were. Kibbutz Ora says this, they're equal. So the view of the Torah is, if they're equal, then Sheva Al Tasa, don't do anything. And therefore, don't be boiled. Allow yourself to be killed. In the case of the woman, don't do anything. And allow yourself to be Nival, and you can save your life. But the point is, Sheva Al Tasa is a psak. What to do when you have two equal things facing you, V'chai Bohem and Gilu Aroyos. Oh, but according to that, we understand the Me'iri says that you can take no action. But if Helo Libo Tino, and you now want to save your life by calling in the man, that's taking action. You can't do that. Because your whole heta is to take no action. But you can't instigate something. That's called taking action. So according to the Me'iri's view, she also wouldn't have been allowed to, even to save her fellow Yidin, she wouldn't be allowed to take action. So according to all these views, L'chayra Karka Olam would not be a Svara Nefer Chazarnu to the Kasha of how could Esther submit herself willingly to Achashverosh. So the Emes is that, as I said, the Rishonim I don't see discuss this question openly. The Neidim Yehuda and Chus Marik, they talk about it. And Yehuda says that because it was Hatzolas Klal Yisrael, it was okay. But it requires a bit of explanation. What does that mean? You can't just commit sins for Hatzolas Klal Yisrael, at least not a sin where it's Yehorek V'Aliyah, but there's no difference between saving one life, your own life, saving another life, a single life, or saving 10 people's lives or a million people's lives, if it's Yehorek V'Aliyah. So what lies behind the view that Hatzolas Klal Yisrael is different? So I'd like to suggest, it's not my fault, but it's based on Chazanish, that what's the reason why the Gimel Averus you have to give up your life for? So normally you learn Kipshutai, they're so severe, you have to give up your life on it. But there, in the Rambam is very meduic, I'll just say the Kitzah, but the Rambam begins where he came to Yisrael and he says, Kol Beis Yisrael Metzuvin Al Kiddush Hashem HaGodol Shanei HaGdash B'Yisrael B'Nei Yisrael U'muzharin Shalei Lechaveloi Shanei HaVeloi Yisrael L'Shem Kodshu Ketzad. So how do we go about being Mekadosh Hashem and avoiding Chilul Hashem? So this says the Rambam Azoi. If it comes to an ordinary Aveira, then please transgress. Because it says, Chayvein, please transgress, don't be killed. But if it comes to the Gimel Averas, Yorek V'Aliyavim. And even my Shara Averas, when do I tell you to transgress? If it's Betzina, Bebeti Fahesia, Yorek V'Aliyavim. And even if it's Betzina, only Shrei B'Shas Hashemah, but B'Shas Hashemah, Yorek V'Aliyavim. And then the Rambam goes on to say, and anyone who doesn't listen to me, and when he should have been Nerag, was over, the Rambam has incorporated within the heading of Kiddush Hashem, and not being Mechalel Hashem, the halacha, that by the Gimel Averus, you have to give up your life, even Betzina, the Rambam has put that into the heading of Kiddush Hashem, not Chilul Hashem, meaning it's not a Nayavot, because the Chomer, these Averus are very severe. It's because these Averus create a big Chilul Hashem. You might wonder, how does that work? Nobody knows that I'm doing this Gil Aroi, so why is it gross Chilul Hashem? But the emphasis is, every Aver that he does, which he knows about and Hashem knows about, is a Chilul Hashem. The Gemara says in Brochus, if you find climb a big doy, push that fill of a shuk. You suddenly looked in your boss suit and you saw it says woolen linen. So you got to undress in the street. Nobody knows. You know, Hashem knows. So why? And the Gemara says, because kol makom sheyesh chilul Hashem, eichod gadol rav. Why is the Gemara call it a chilul Hashem? Because it is a chilul Hashem. Because when you do something against Hashem's command, that is a chilul Hashem. Sometimes, most averus are this level chilul Hashem. Gil aroi shvikus dam averus are that level chilul Hashem. And even betzina, they're tremendously mechalel Hashem shamayim. But the Rambam says the reason why you got to give up your life rather than transgress these averus is because not to do so would be velo sechalel Hashem kotchi, and it's a chiv of kitsh Hashem and an avoidance of chil Hashem that requires you to give your life for those averus. Oy bazoi, kem ezogin. Moshe Rabbeinu argued to Rabbein Shalom after the chet of the Meraglim, Rabbein Shalom wanted to kill out all of Klal Yisrael in the Midbar, says Moshe Rabbeinu, the Omru, the Goyim will say, Mibilti Yecheles Hashem, Hashem was unable to bring them all in. They matter us on Azek Yishechot, you go back, you kill out the whole nation. There'll be tremendous chilul Hashem. The destruction, says the Nehudah, I'm coming back to Nehudah, says the Nehudah, the destruction of our Noshim, V'taf, in 127 Medinas, the entire body of Klal Yisrael, that would be a tremendous Chilul Hashem. Suddenly, off the face of the earth, you didn't disappear, that would be tremendous Chilul Hashem. So if the Yisoid HaDovar of why Yehorek V'al Yavoy is ultimately, according to the Rambam, because you cannot transgress this Avera, because this Avera is tremendous Chil Hashem, but you've got to weigh it up. If I don't transgress this Avera, there might be a greater Chil Hashem, the destruction of the whole nation. It's not a decision that I can make. But Mordechai and Esther, the Ruach Kodshom, can make a decision that it's necessary for me to be over this Avera, Barotzoin, Gila Royas, Barotzoin, because what's preventing me to do so is ultimately, says the Rambam, Chil Hashem. Not to do so in this case will result in a greater Chilul Hashem of the destruction of Anosh and Oshim Metaf of the whole Klal Yisrael. So Avada, in order to prevent a greater Chilul Hashem, I'm allowed to do this because Faket, this way I'm preventing a Chilul Hashem, I'm not causing a Chilul Hashem, I'm preventing a Chilul Hashem, and that's what allows Esther to go and be Nival even Barotzoin, if according to the Rambam, the Yisoid of Yehorek V'Aliyavo is always Al Chilul Hashem, in this case it's preventing Chilul Hashem. Just to conclude, you might wonder, if therefore Esther was permitted to go into Achashverosh Barotzoin, as we just described and explained, so why did she say to Mordechai, V'chasher Ovadati, Ovadati now be Nesa to you, She's doing something right. She's even doing a mitzvah rabba, the Marik says. So why is she going to be nesa to her husband? So Marik says a famous vot, with that I conclude, that the issa of a saita lebaalo is not kishdinning against Hashem. It doesn't say in the Torah, mo'alo ma'al ba'ashem. It says in the Torah, ish ish ki sister ishto u'mo'alo boy mo'al. It's a me'ila against your husband. And he says, anything short of an oinus is a me'ila. You might be doing it for a mitzvah, you might be doing it for the best of reasons. But you're doing, you're going barotzen, that's a me'ila in your husband, and therefore you remain also to your husband. Unless your mom is physically forced, then nisvasa, she's muteris. But if she does a barotzen, even though it might be permitted and even required her to do it, it's still a me'ila in mo'al or boy, in the husband, and therefore chashav as devoti, she would remain also to mortar.
Well, had Chelem when she went, she didn't know what Zaira was about. Being chosen and given to them.